Now let's look into the second dispute. And again, God is asking, where are those who revere me? And Israel's talking back to God, saying, Lord, when have we forsaken you? And there are three definitions to worship, to honor in Hebrew. And they have different nuances and different meanings a little bit. But overall, they mean the same thing. The most common word for this is kavod. And the second is mora and yaar. And yaar is a complete devotion to God. And why is revering and honoring the Lord so important? And there are many aspects to this, but let's look at it tonight, today. So yesterday we see that God said, I have loved you to Israel. And the Israelites were saying, when have you loved us? Because they could not see the love of God. And God's kingdom is built on top of that love. If you cannot see the love of God, it means you have completely shut yourselves away from God. And that's why in 1 John it says, to love the Lord means you to know God. And you cannot say God equals love. But the scale of God and the scale of His love is almost equal. And when we live with the Lord, we confess to Him saying He's new every day. And the reason why He's new every day is because of that love. And that love is never ending. And it is always renewed. If my spiritual state is normal, then even if the Lord says, I love you to me every day, it's going to come to me in a new way every day. I won't be sick of it, or it will not become stagnant. Because that love has power in itself. So for God to give us His love means He has given us everything. And God has given us holiness. Holiness is the entirety of what God is. But the most important core region of that of holiness is love and righteousness. So if you receive the holiness of God, you realize how different and how set apart His love is for you. And you know that His love is one and only. It cannot be compared to any other love. And then you receive righteousness. That righteousness is a right, it is a privilege given to you that allows you to come before God. Even the angels cannot behold the face of God. If they do, they will die. Only we have been given the privilege to be able to see the face of God without dying. And of course, that is not without a process. And for that, we need to talk about the entirety of Hebrews and the book of Romans. But anyways, righteousness is a right that allows you to come before the King of Kings. So through His sacrifice, we have been acknowledged as being without sin. If you have a single sin within you, you will die immediately when you confront the Lord. But He has done all the work for us to be righteous, for us to be pure of our sins. That's why it is a right for us to come before the Lord. And even righteousness is there's a lot of vague definitions of it. But the Bible is not written in this unclear way. It is not hazy or vague. And of course, it is difficult to define everything and describe everything fully with our languages. But when the Spirit of God has been given to you, you just get a sense of it, even if you cannot describe it. You get a taste of what that glory is. In Romans 8, it says it is the freedom of glory. And you get a sense, oh, this is true freedom. When you were in darkness, you couldn't see what was before you. You were... But as soon as glory comes into you, you get that freedom. You know what the problem is. You know what obstacles are before you. You know what you're doing wrong. And because you receive that glory, there's abundance in that glory as well. When light comes into you, you can see that prism of light. You can see all the colors of the rainbow. Likewise, when that glory comes into you, you can see the full spectrum of that abundance of His kingdom. And that's why the book of John says the kingdom of God is like a festival. And it gives us all the things required for us to be, to go back to our original design of being the people of God. That is the abundance of God. And there's money in that too. But the money is in that far corner, so it's difficult to see. So you must receive the abundance of glory. You get a sense of it. You understand it. And when you receive glory, there's power. It is written in Colossians. And so, what does God call us? Because He has given us all that honor and dignity. According to the blessings of Ephesians chapter 1, what is the seventh blessing given to the church? God calls us His praise of glory. Who calls us His praise of glory? God calls us His praise of glory. God sings for all of us. Isn't that touching? I shouldn't cry out. I shouldn't cry because I'll mess up my makeup.
So how amazing, how emotional is this? He's calling you His praise of glory. So, you know, look above. If you see the ceiling, then you are lacking faith. Don't you see the throne of God? Is He over there? Is He singing over you? He's playing His guitar. I have a little daughter. Her name is Kim Sun-ja. Even though her legs are short, she goes all around the world. She goes everywhere. That's how He sings over us. How amazing that He sings for us. This is a fulfillment of Zephaniah 3:17. So because God has bought His church with His blood, you cannot put a value on the church. That's why there's nothing that He cannot do for His churches. As I've been living with God for 36 years, I'm still experiencing what the church is. And God has given everything to the church. And God has entrusted that kind of churches to you. So when you are in charge of the church, it means that God has entrusted you the whole universe. So I've been telling the pastors over 23 years into the ministry. If you know the essence of the church, then that's the end of your pastor ministry. And I think pastors of Zoe ministry are beginning to understand what I mean. Even your preaching should not be done according to, you know, your own plans and your preparation. Even what I'm preaching right now, you know, I'm not preaching out of my preparation. And it does not mean that, you know, my preaching is not logical or it does not make sense at all. And how is this possible? Because this is the essence of the church. And God has given me all the abundance that He gave to the church, to me as well. And because, you know, because it is the church, we minister. Because it is the church, we fight the spiritual battle. But why do churches die out? When he gave that holiness to us, because we lost that holiness. So through this Malachi, you have to, you know, solve this issue of holiness. I'm not telling you to, you know, try harder. or put more effort, but you have to meditate upon what the holiness that God gave you, and what are the things that defiles that holiness that God gave us. So as long as pastors secure that holiness, Church of God will move under God's reign. My wife told me not to talk about the money we have spent until now. So, you know, when I say those things, I'm not talking about what I have done. But what I'm talking about is how God used such a small people like us. For the last 20 years of Zoe ministry, Zoe ministry have been spending over $80 million. So in such a small church, how is it possible to spend that great amount of money? And we don't even know how we have done that and how God has worked in that way. And why is it possible? Because we are the church. God uses limitlessly for His churches. So how tremendous is this? When you testify the testimonies of the church, then you cannot, finish it within a day. You know, you are the churches. That's how God loves you. And God is always responsible for His churches. It is not us who is doing. Amen. So we will look at the reverence today. So verse 6. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due to me? So first, we need to respect his name. Respecting and honoring his name means that we honor him. So when you listen to that person's name, you get to know about who he is, what he's capable of, what kind of things he has. We call that the whole person, the whole personality. So when we listen to his name, we get to know who he is. So when we say his name, it refers to his presence as well. God said, I have put my name in Shiloh, which means that I have given my presence to Shiloh. So when you say that you honor his name, it means that you are fully respecting him as a presence. And which also refers to him who is remaining in his presence, so that you have the authority to use his name. And even more, in the New Testament, we have given the authority to use his name through all the payment that Jesus has made. So when we pray by his name, it means that we can also use all the abundance, authority, power that he gave to us. But when we contempt his name, it means that, when we dishonor him, it means that we are not respecting him and we are dishonoring his name. So how foolish is this? So, these priests, they are dishonoring the name of the Lord. They say that they honor their father, their master. And we are his servants, right? And he is our master. It is normal for the servants to honor their masters. At the same time, he is our father. And it is normal for us to honor our father too. As I said yesterday, we need to meet God as our father first. And normally, when I minister somebody, people, meet God of power very well. But many people are shut from meeting God the Father, God of Father. And there are many reasons why. But the major thing is because of the spiritual wound. Because you are shut from God's love, even though you call him your father, you consider him as your neighborhood uncle. there are many of you who call God in that way, but He is our Father. Especially we call Him Abba Father, which is in Aramaic. So when we call Him Father, we are calling Him like a baby which is only 2 to 4 years old. So it means that that baby only knows that his father will give whatever he asks for him. That's why God promised us in that way. So, you know, the relationship between me and the father, he is the one who should be giving to me no matter what I ask. Because we have the relationship of Abba Father between him. Secondly, we have that official relationship between him. We are not asking him as an individual, but he is the King of Kings and I'm the royal son. So this is a very public relationship. So when I pray, God must show the proper response to our prayer. For example, let's say that I have asked for the universe. God would not say, hey, don't say foolish things. But instead, He needs to show His proper response to my request. So for 36 years since I have met God, God has never said to me, hey, what a nonsense that you're asking. But instead, He said, okay, let's just wait. So, you know, imagine how powerful your authority of prayer is. That is why when you pray, the heaven's door is opened and shut. That's what happens truly. So when the pastors do not lose the power of prayer, as far as I know, as far as I experienced, pastors will not have problems in their ministry. So if your prayers are not answered, you should not stay still. You must be persuaded by God why He has not answered to your prayer. Because that's how I believe the promise of God. And as I was meeting with God for 36 years, I have never received His word in order to preach the sermon. I have never eaten the word in order to know it as a knowledge. I believe that His word is His promise. And I believe that His word is life. And that is how He should respond to me. So if your prayer is not answered, you should not stay still. If you are staying still, it means that you are looking down, you are belittling God's promise. He must persuade you. He must tell you why He is not answering to you. So if you lose His promise, if you belittle His promise, it means that you are belittling His truth. You're belittling His promise. Because that's a relationship that we have between Him. And that's how official our relationship between Him is. So, you know, angels are the witnesses of our relationship when I ask to Him and when He answers to me. And the whole universe is looking at us. So my prayer is not because of my own benefit, but my prayer has the influence toward the whole universe, toward all the movement of the angels, toward the creation. They are all involved. So ultimately, prayer is not a simple matter. So something that you should always be aware of is your prayer. I've been praying over 36 years. And you may think that if you have prayed for 36 years, you may, you know, let go of your prayer from now on. But even now, God is making me to enter into deeper part of the prayer. So normally, God makes me to pray for 6 hours a day. I don't even like try to do like that, but when I intercede for Zoe Ministry churches, that's the minimum of hours that I need to pray. And if my prayer does not maintain the status of opening the heavens, then I must do something about it. And if God is not answering to me, then I must do something about it, that too. So that's why, you know, I need to live, you know, within the emotion of being answered by God. Even today, God answered to my prayer, right? So in order to share that testimony, it takes me more than an encyclopedia to write. So throughout this conference, God will solve a lot of things. But especially, I hope that God will restore the relationship between you and He will begin to, you know, listen to your prayers. And since I've been ministering over 36 years, all the accumulation of my life is now flowing into me again. So when my prayer is answered, I must realize, oh, when did I pray this? And of course, normally, the prayers that have not answered to me are remembered by me normally. So, you know, I'm really enjoying this season. That's why I'm dressed in this way. So when you look at how I dress, you need to know, you know, how I feel. I want to go to Hawaii right now. So, just kidding. You know, somebody bought me this and he told me to wear this. You know, there's nothing that I'm wearing that I bought by myself. So, you know, whenever I think about them who bought these for me, you know, I have to wear them, right? But this looks nice on me, right? Send me to Hawaii, please. Okay, let's continue. So we need to know about kavod, honoring God. So kavod has a meaning of heavy or a burden. Even though we should not carry the heavy burden, as I said yesterday, but we should carry the burden of God's word. We should never consider God's word lightly. That's why Deuteronomy even calls it commandment of God. It's not that you are forced to do something, but because of God's love. Because of God's love, no matter how lightly God says it, it becomes a big commandment to you. That's what happens when you love someone. So think about it, pastors. When you first got married to your wife, during that time when your wife said, "Honey, I want to have this," and you would fly to somewhere to buy this. Right? You went flying to buy that. Ladies, did you get married to pastors who are not like that? So, how about you? How about your case? Your husband was never like that? Then why did you get married to him? Really? Oh. Pastor said that, you know, there were so many events that was like that that she cannot even remember. So anyways. But, you know, after getting married for 30 years, even if she asks for you to do something, you will say, "Oh, why don't you do it by yourself?" And when you love someone, everything that that person says will become a commandment to you. Even right now, when my wife tells me something, I will like run as quickly as possible. You know, if she says, "Honey, come to Lotte Mart," then I will drive as soon as possible to Lotte Mart. Ask her. If she says, "Honey, you know, pick me up after my massage," then I will drive as soon as possible. That's why my eyebrows are not growing, because I've been running too fast. Anyways, love is a commandment. And God's love is the same. So until now, God has never commanded me to do something. God never commands you harshly. Look how much God respects you. Yesterday, I didn't talk about the free will as I was talking about the predestination. So we were created by God's image, right? That's Hebrew word chelem. Even though human flesh are created, our spirit is not created, but instead it has been transplanted from God. So we will see that in chapter 3 too. Or chapter 2 verse 15 actually. So anyway, instead of creating us, bara, God uses the term that He begotted us. So, you know, in Hebrews, it does not say that God has manufactured us into the world, but instead, He gave us His life. He has transplanted His life into us. That's why He gives this incomparable love to us. And the reason why we love our children is because we gave them our life, right? So it is the same. God has begotten us. And He has that spiritual relationship between us. That is why the New Testament uses the term beget, begotten. That's the relationship that we have. We have the relationship of Father and the Son, a relationship of life. And do you know how important this is? And if you don't understand this term, Tselem, you will think that God has created the whole universe. And you may think that God has chosen human out of all creation to give a specialty. Then it will make us as same as all the other creation. That's where the communism of Karl Marx came from. The reason why Karl Marx created communism is because of, you know, the hypocrisy of his father. So as he was reading the Bible, he thought that, you know, this is a lie. And he never knew how precious human beings are, which turned everybody into materialism. But we are the ones who have been transplanted God's life. That's why we can receive the same name that Jesus has received from God. And that is why those who are sanctified are from the same source with the ones who sanctifies. So when you know this, the Word of God will never be lacked. When the whole books of the Bible flows into us as life, you will realize how precious God's word is. And you should always remain in this emotion of being washed by God's word, because God's word came from God's precious blood. So at the same time, it has a meaning that it is precious, kavod, has a meaning of being precious. And the word itself is wisdom, right? And that word is the most precious thing. And you should always have that preciousness of the Word of God in you. And when the pastors begin to, you know, consider God's Word precious, it will have that beautiful influence in your life through your sermon. So you should always be immersed in the Word of God. Even now, you know, I always memorize the Bible. You should keep the Bible close to you. So the Word of God came into you as the new covenant, right? So when your spirit is always open to Him, then the glory of His gospel will always flow in you. So each and every moment, God's Word will come out of you. Just as David said in Psalms 42, look how much God has His thought to me. That's how much He pours His thoughts to us. And God's word outside comes in to meet the God's word that is dwelling within me. Even right now, you're listening to the word of God through me. You're not listening to something that you have never known before, but it is the truth that you have is meeting with the truth that I'm proclaiming right here. So that's when it collides and creates a spark. That's when you realize. And that's the principle of life. It's not a theory. That is why church members change, because that's how they receive the word of God. That's why they put their life into the truth. And because they receive the word of God as life, church members have that life running in themselves as well. That's why they put their life in that truth. And imagine how tough it would be for this small church to minister the whole world. So it would be impossible if they have not given all their life to the church. And you have to pray 24 hours every single day. And you cannot go anywhere because we are having conferences every holidays. You don't have time to meet your relatives. So if you don't give your life to the church, you cannot do this. Unless you give out everything that you have, this church cannot be run. So I'm not saying that you have to give up on your possession, but instead you have to give up on your life. Why? Because you consider the truth as your life. And it is possible because pastor is, because the life is coming out of the mouth of the pastor. And there are some pastors who are only showing the menus to the church members. And that is not the life. He is saying, we have this soup in the menu. And church members will say, oh, how delicious would that be? But they are starving because they are only seeing the menus. So you know, they are struggling until they decide to, you know, devour the pastor. There are many pastors who are being devoured by the church members. You know, there is this denomination that accused me as a heresy in Korea. But that denomination is one of the biggest denomination that is struggling with these lawsuits. You know, I don't really hate that denominations because I pray for Korean churches. You know, I used to be in the denomination of the Methodist. And I don't know why I was in Methodist churches. But anyways, I love them. I love you guys. I love you all. And Pentecostal. I really don't like chose. But recently, there are many people who came from the chose family. So I decided to love the chose. I love them all. And this is another denomination which Pastor Yiwanju came from. If it wasn't for me, he would have became a president of that denomination, but he has met me. But anyways, I love them all. So that's how precious God's word is. And this kavod also has the meaning of honor. You know what that means, right? It has the meaning of crown. Honor. Fame and honor. So you have to be proud of having the word of God. And these are all parts of God's glory. And when you have that glory in you, because you are the new covenantal being, that true system will run in you. Jeremiah 31:33, what does it say? God's word has been given to your spirit and into your mind. So when we say that we are being led by God, it means that God's word is leading that spirit. The word that is in his spirit and the word that is in his mind that is keep moving you. So the word in our spirit does not have any problem, but it is the word in our mind and in our thoughts that becomes problem. Because you have those dirty information, defiled information, bitter roots, and the fortress of the enemies. So that is why we have to always cleanse our mind. When you look at the tabernacle, the presence of God, the power of His blood, and power of His word does not have any problem that comes from the Holy of Holies. But the things that dwells in the holy place, the bread table and the lampstand and the incense, altar of incense. Unless priests take care of that well, it becomes filthy and it gets defiled. So, just by the fire that should always be burning on the altar of incense, you should not allow that to be quenched. And you need to always change the coal. You should not put any other defiled fire. It was Phinehas and Hophni that was killed because they defiled. That was defiled. And in the tabernacle, if it doesn't have the blood of Christ, it is defiled. Just like 1 John 5:8 says, the water, blood, and the spirit are one. Those three must move all together within us. So it is not the word of God that moves alone. It is the blood of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that moves along with the word of God. That's how tabernacle is being operated. Amen? So that's how it is operated in your spirit as well. That's why God calls you His Holy of Holies. And what does it mean that your temple is being completed? It means that your spirit has no problem, but it is your mind that has been corrupted. All the word of God, all the truth, and the anointing. And, you know, they should be offered to God without any flaws. And when you are holy, when you are pure, enemies can never hinder us from, you know, lifting the aroma of worship to God. And God will be pleased with that aroma of worship. So it is important to know what it means to complete the temple. You are the temple. Jesus is the temple. And, you know, within the temple, the Shekinah glory is keep moving. That's what it means that God has made us His tabernacle. So Isaiah 4 prophesies like this. And that prophecy does not show the tabernacle of Israel. But instead, even though that was a man, Isaiah saw him as a tabernacle. And within the tabernacle, there is the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. It is the same for you. Holy Spirit is leading you from the inside as pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. So wilderness is a place where you can only rely on God. So church should not become the city of religion. And you die when you become the city of religion. Church must be the wilderness fundamentally. You must rely on God alone. And when you rely on God, God will lead you by the pillar of fire and cloud. That's what the church is. So that's what it means to honor. And to revere Shekinah glory is the same. So ultimately, they come together in terms of reverence. And why is it important for pastors to revere God? More than anything, priests are the people who should offer God in the right way. The core of all the corruption in Israel is the corruption of worship and sacrifices. Their worship was influenced by Babylon, Asherah, Baal. They were influenced by the abundance of the world. So their sacrifices that they offered to Yahweh was defiled. It is because their reverence has died out. So why is your reverence disappearing? Because you are not concentrating on God. And these priests, these servants, are keep turning their direction to useless things. So can servants play bowling? Right? Can they play golf? Right? Yeah, you can. Try. I'm not telling you not to do it. But when you live by God, when you become servant of God, it would be impossible for you to do these kind of things. You can go fishing, right? You can play Go. There was this pastor who used to play Go all night long, and then they came out on the stage to preach, and they, when he was looking at his church members, he saw their heads like those stones of the Go. And instead of saying hallelujah, he said the term from Go. That's a real story. That's a true story. So when I make jokes, please laugh. That's good for you. So there are people who say, where does the Bible say it's a sin? And there was this one pastor's wife who used to come to join ministry before. And she said that, you know, her husband and other pastors always gather to play poker, Korean poker. And she told her husband to not play that. And that pastor said, oh, how is this a sin? There are a lot of pastors who do worse. So, you know, sins are not necessarily those famous sins that people consider as sin. But when you are focusing on God, and the more you enter into God's glory, the things that are not considered as sin to the others would become a sin for you. So when I met God 37 years ago, during that time, I was excellent at all those arcade games. But I became unable to play all those things again. Because first, it was filthy. So I couldn't do it. I didn't even want to smell the smoke, the cigarette. And when I tried to drink, I felt like my throat's burning. So the reason why you lose God's reverence is because you'll have lost the concentration. As you live with God, you cannot go to other direction. But because you are going to a wrong direction, you are losing the reverence to God. Reverence comes because you sense the difference of holiness between you and God. He is holy and I am holy. But why do we bow before Him? No matter how much we receive holiness from Him, when we meet Him, we realize that our holiness is incomparable to His holiness, so that we cannot help ourselves but to bow down. That's the reverence. And we can talk about a lot of things. But when you look at Isaiah 11, there is a prophecy about the Holy Spirit coming to us. And what is that Holy Spirit? He is a spirit of reverence. So when the Holy Spirit comes, more than anything, He makes us to revere God. And that reverence will make worship. So without reverence, you cannot worship God. So out of all your worship, the first atmosphere that you should have is the reverence toward God. And of course, you can be emotional, you can be inspirational. So when there is Holy Spirit, the characteristic of that worship should be freedom and holiness. So if your worship is pressured, if your worship is hardened, then you need to see that there is something wrong. So the worship with the Holy Spirit must be free and holy. And because of the radiation of God's holiness, we can worship Him in reverence. So how important is this reverence? All the blessings of God, you know, abundance of God, they are all connected to God's, our reverence toward God. In the book of Psalms, reverence is related to the blessing. Reverence is related to the authority of material. Proverbs 24 says, reward of respecting and honoring God is life and wealthiness. And Psalms 25:14 says, to those who respect God, God will give His intimacy. So in the world, you cannot be intimate with the person that you are afraid of. But God is different. The more you revere Him, you will be intimate with Him. So when your reverence reaches to the maximum, you will be united with God completely. And from that moment, God will never hide any secret from that person. That's what Amos 3:7 meant. So that's why God does not do anything else without revealing His secret to His servant prophets. Although this is amazing, but this is something that God allowed to all the saints in the New Testament. So the work that Jesus has fulfilled, accomplished on this earth is just tremendous. It's out of our imagination. That's how amazing what Jesus has accomplished. So until then, only those chosen people could enter into the counsel of God. And when you look at Book of Enoch and other documents, the Holy of Holies of God has several levels. And there are seraphims and angels who can go to the 10th heaven outside of God's holiness, God's Holy of Holies. And that's the place where God has His counsel. And right next to His throne, Jesus is sitting. And there are prophets that God acknowledges who can go to that throne. And in Micah, you can also see that. Micah also went there too. And outside of the throne, there is a place where angels and Satan can go when God calls them. So that's, but that's only the status of the Old Testament. But Jesus has finished all the trials through His blood. And everyone can enter into that place that was only allowed for those great prophets as long as that person believes in the blood of Christ. And in that place, we taste the greatest reverence to God. But why can you not enter there, even though God has opened that up for you? When Jesus died, the veil that was hiding the Holy of Holies was torn apart. It was torn apart, which means that because of Jesus' blood, you can all enter into that place. I hope that this would not be abstract to you. God's word is knowledge. What is knowledge? It is ginosko, to experience. God's word is given to you so that you would experience. Amen. God's word gives you the understanding. What is understanding? It means that you experience and understand who God is. And you will know, oh, when I live with God, this is what happens. This is what God hates. This is what God likes. In order to live with God, I need to do these kind of things. That's the understanding. So you need to always be aware that God's word is real. When you look at Colossians 2:9, all the godliness of God has been somatikot in Jesus. What is somatikot? It means that it has been substantialized. So, you know, in Jesus, there is everything, and that has been embodied to Him. Which means that it became a real strength for Jesus to use whenever He wants to use. But what is surprising is that we have been united with Jesus, who is the head, right? So what does Paul say? What does Paul say? Paul says that I want you to be filled with all the fullness of God's fullness. So even within us, all the fullness of God dwells. So, you know, this bottle is filled with water. And this bottle is also filled with oil, also filled with the alcohol. Is that possible? In the three-dimensional world, it is impossible. But in the kingdom of God, it is possible. Everything is being filled all together. That's the fullness of God. When you need wisdom, then God will give wisdom. When you say glory, God will give glory. Power, authority, they will come out. That's the fullness of God. Last time when I was ministering in Honduras, I was really tired. So, you know, I was worshiping God in front. People were worshiping in the front, but I was sleeping back there. I didn't drool. But my children came to me and said, "Dad, you know, the praise is over." And as soon as I went up there, I said, "Oh, you know, somebody who is sick, come here." I began the healing ministry immediately. Why is it possible? Because I was united with He who is the head. And all the fullness of God became somatico to me. So how amazing is this? God wants to fulfill that tremendous promise to His all servants. So now enter into Holy of Holies. This is not a theory. God's word is knowledge, ginosko. And all the ancestors of faith used to live like that. And that's how they experienced. And even now, all the glorious servants are living in that way. So receive it. Receive God's anointing. Be filled with God's Spirit, and you will be filled with God's reverence. So reverence of God is connected to everything. God's wisdom, power, blessing, authority, they are all connected to the reverence. So if you lose reverence, it means that you lose everything. So through this conference, you need to taste of God's reverence. You saw the sister, you know, going crazy, you know, as if she was shot. The reason why she was doing that is because she sensed the presence of God being condensed here. When I was having a conference in China, when we were having the conference together in China, you know, the saints were desiring and yearning so much that I was nearly sucked up to the crowd, and I was laying hands to the pastors, and all of a sudden, you know, precious jewels and golden powder was dropped on the stage. And you know, this translator, instead of translating, you know, she was busy picking up those jewels and golden dust. And all of a sudden, you know, the crowd came up to the stage to pick them up as well. And when I went to Paraguay, Sergio was translating. But on the stage was fully covered with jewels. And people came up to the stage and they saw it. And Chinese people tried to pick them up, but instead of picking them up, these Paraguayan people, they began to cry. So which one's better? This Oriental mindset, they only know about themselves. They have to possess something on their own. But these Latin American people, they began to cry and they trembled before God because of the reverence. That they said that they used to hear from their grandparents. They used to hear from the grandparents of the stories of golden dust and the jewels coming down from heaven. And now that they have experienced that personally, that they ended up crying and trembling. So when the reverence of God, when the reverence toward God reaches to the maximum, that's what happens. God says, I will go now. I will go soon. God is keep showing us the sign of His returning. So this is not something unique. Healing and deliverance, those are just normal. Last time in Costa Rica, there was a pastor's wife whose bones were completely like shattered. It was not just broken, it was shattered. But I commanded to her to jump and run, and she began to jump and run. And there was this sister who has never ran in her life because her heart didn't grow ever since she was really young. But I commanded her to run. And when her blood pressure rises, her heart might explode. But the moment I ministered, her heart expanded. Her heart grew. So this is a season that God's, you know, power is being manifested limitlessly. So because God is coming near and near, even now you see a lot of natural disasters and catastrophes because God's coming is near. So the world is trembling in fear. We are the different. We are different. We will remain in awe. You need to see how the universe is being prepared to welcome Him. The whole universe is being aligned as a cross formation. In a cross formation. The whole angels, the host of the heavens are being alert because they are waiting for the return of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we also need to be awake. We need to revere Him. We need to maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's already 12:40. So let's pray. We have to pray a little bit. We have to pray for a while. So I promise you that I will surely finish Book of Malachi. So anyways, let's pray. So you know, this hotel is nice, but the food is but it's still really expensive. So please, you know, bear with it. But you know, we will buy you nice snacks. And tomorrow afternoon, we will have a barbecue party. So, you know, tonight we will give you an announcement. We will have a barbecue in a place where it's only like 10 minutes away from here. And, you know, we will feed you with great meat. Okay? How much is a cow these days? You don't know? Okay. Anyways. Okay, let's pray. We don't care how much is a beef. Okay. What matters to us is the prayer. Lord, help all our spiritual senses of our servants be opened. If their spiritual senses are damaged, Lord, restore them, heal them. Just as you have opened your Holy of Holies to your servants, Lord, let their spirit be open as well. Help these servants receive everything that you bring with your presence. In this end time, in this last season, Lord, you are raising your glorious churches. Lord, we believe that these servants are your called servants for that end time, for that last season. Just as Isaiah 40 prophesied. This is the season where the voice of the wilderness rises up to proclaim. Lord, help these servants receive your calling. And Lord, wash them with your precious blood. And let their spirit be opened. Give them the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And through the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Lord, bring all your fullness of God to be somatikod in them. Lord, let your word be embodied to them. Help them to experience all the knowledge of the word of God through this Lord, pour out more. Lord, pour your anointing even more powerfully. Lord, fill us with your presence. Let their spirit be loosened. Let them all receive what you are being pouring upon this place. Let them be filled with your reverence so that they would bow down before you, so that they would go before the throne of grace, so that they will meet you face to face. I have decided my righteousness for you. I have given you the qualification to meet me. I acknowledge that you have never committed a sin. The blood of Christ. Lord, pour out more.